Well, may I extend my welcome to everyone here this evening. It is great to see some faces that I haven't seen in literally years. So welcome here this evening. I'm just going to open prayer before we turn to God's words. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you, and Lord, we praise you. Lord, that we can meet here together tonight as brothers and sisters in Christ to come around your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can sing your praises. Lord, we thank you that you are worthy of all praise. Lord, we thank you for the great hope that we have in the gospel, Lord, even in the face of much uncertainty. And Father, we ask now that, Lord, that your word would not remain within these four walls of this church, but Father, we pray that you would equip us and embolden us, Lord God, to take your word from here and share it with those around us. Lord, those here in Newtown and the surrounding towns and villages, Lord, but as we will hear later from Chris, Lord, to the ends of the earth. Lord, help us to be bold proclaimers of your word. But Lord, we pray for this evening. We pray that you would be working in our hearts. Lord, that you would make us attentive to your word. And Lord, again, we just pray for any here tonight who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, would you speak to them? We pray that even tonight, Lord God, that we would be rejoicing at new life, at new birth through the Spirit. We just pray these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Well, if you have a church Bible or a Bible, please turn to Psalm 54. If you do have a church Bible, it's on page 575. So Psalm 54, starting at the top. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us? Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes." So this evening, I want to start by asking you a question. To what or whom do you turn to in times of trouble? And not only who do you turn to, but with what confidence do you do so? The answer to that question can reveal quite a lot about you as a person, about your priorities and my priorities, and who we really trust in. So here in this psalm, David's time of trouble that we read about is a time of betrayal and persecution. Thankfully, in this particular instance, in this psalm, we are given the context in which it is being written. As you can see in the opening line, it was written about the time that David was hiding among the Ziphites, who were a clan of Judah, who then later would betray him to Saul, who was hunting him. So just to recap on a bit of the background of this story, Saul had been appointed king over Israel, but had then been removed as king by God because of his disobedience. And David is then anointed king. Saul, however, continues as king, at least as far as he thought, and became increasingly jealous of David as David found favor with God, to the point of even trying to kill David. Then David then goes on the run, hiding from place to place, which leads us to this instance of the betrayal by the Ziphites, which then leads in turn to this response in this psalm. So this betrayal actually happened twice, whilst David was on the run. Once, as Sharon read before, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, and then again later on, a few chapters later, in 1 Samuel 26. But to the opening question of who do we go to in times of trouble, the answer to many will be obvious, at least in theory. I've no doubt that if we were to hand out slips of paper with questions, with the question, who should you turn to in times of trouble, with multiple options, and one of those being God, I'm pretty sure that the vast majority here would tick God. And many of you maybe even know where this sermon is heading. The correct answer is here, right in front of us. But as most of us will know, knowing the right answer, ticking the right box, is one thing. But the practical outworking of that in practice may be quite different. So this evening, we're going to look at this psalm, splitting up into its two main sections. Firstly, verses 1 to 3, and then looking at the second section, verses 4 to 7. The NIV has removed the selah, that is there in the Hebrew at the end of verse 3, which although it's not entirely, I'm not entirely 100% sure what that means, it does come as a helpful natural break between these two sections. So that's where we're going to be splitting it up. So in the first section, we're going to be looking at David's cry to God in this time of trouble. And then in the second section, we're going to look and examine David's confidence in God. So, firstly, section 1, verses 1 to 3, looking at David's example, I've given this part the title, Cry Out to God. So let's start this section by considering, firstly, the level of David's desperation. Why is David crying out for help? We can see here that he truly was desperate. Look at verse 1. He cries out, save me. He isn't saying, lend me a hand or give me a bit of advice to get me out of a bit of a tricky situation. If you've ever had to, maybe for instance, ring up your broadband provider because your Wi-Fi is a bit rubbish, or a mechanic, maybe about a scratch on your car, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have asked them to save you. At least I hope you didn't. If you did, I would maybe gently suggest that your priorities in life are a bit mixed up and might need some rethinking. Why? Because broadband and scratches and issues of that manner aren't matters of life and death. But David really was in a life or death situation. Look there at verse 3. We see that arrogant people are trying to kill him. His life really was on the line. David is not overreacting. But maybe this evening, you also are in a truly desperate situation. Your life may not be on the line like David's, but the trial of persecution is still real and hard to bear. Maybe you have a family member or members who are making life increasingly difficult because you love Jesus. Or a work colleague who would do anything to see you out of your job because you love Jesus, then let me encourage you that you are in good company with David tonight. So secondly, continuing in this first section, may I also remind you and encourage you that in your desperation to follow David's example and to cry out to God, no matter the depth of the situation, Now, if we look at the wider context, we see that David is not taking the attitude of crying out to God as someone takes towards the spare tire off their car. David isn't crying out to God because he's tried everything else, and he may as well give crying out to God a go, because he's got nothing else to lose. If you read the story up to this point in 1 Samuel, we see that David is somebody who walked closely with the Lord. And as we'll see more in our second section of this psalm, he knew God. Now, I hope we can see that it is God who David is ultimately turning to and relying on from these verses. He's crying out to God, "Save me, O God, by your name." But that doesn't mean he's unwilling to get help from others. Just before his first occurrence of the betrayal by the Ziphites, we see David taking help from Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23:16. I'll just read that again. It says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." And there are many other such examples through David's life. Now, there may be some who would say that this shows that David wasn't really fully trusting in God. It may say that if David was truly trusting in God, he wouldn't take or help off others. But that isn't so. David was trusting in God and relying fully upon him. But he knew that God often brings answers to our prayers through others, through our brothers and sisters in Christ. So this evening, if you're honest with yourself, are you truly trusting in God? Or do you treat him more like a backup plan? Are you also willing to accept help from your brothers and sisters here and in other fellowships, and to see that their help could be from the Lord? So in this section so far, we've seen that David is in a truly desperate life or death situation, and that in that level, the depth of that desperation, he turns to God. Thirdly, we see that he is asking God to hear his prayer in verse 2. "Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." Have you ever thought about how awesome it is, if you are a Christian here tonight, that God hears us? It struck me while thinking and meditating on these verses of what a privilege it is as children of God, to have a heavenly Father who hears and listens to us. But at the same time, I was also struck by sadness, thinking of those who do not know anything of this blessing. People want and long to be heard. As individuals, we normally like it when others pay attention and are willing to listen. And we get frustrated if they don't listen to us. Employees want to be heard by their employers. Citizens want to be heard by their governments. You'll hear people often using things like social media because they want their voices to be heard. And we hear people getting angry when they are not being listened to. But think for a second for those who don't have this assurance like David had. Who maybe with day after day, with lots of zeal and passion and devotion, call out to a god or gods with a small g, of course, only not to be heard by what they are focusing their devotion on. There are many who will travel thousands of miles, climb to temples up on mountains, even go to the lengths of physically harming their bodies, making financial sacrifices in order to be heard by some so-called deity. But yet they are not heard. They're not being listened to. Isn't that desperately sad? But maybe you're wondering tonight, how can the true and living God hear me? How can I know? How can I cry out like David? and know that he hears and have this real relationship with him? Well, the Bible is clear that it is not for your efforts of how loud you shout or what religious duties you perform. But the Bible is clear that it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have this way to God. Jesus says in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to have this true and living relationship. So lastly and briefly on this section, notice that David wants justice. Verse 1, vindicate me by your might. David is suffering an injustice, and he rightly longs for justice to be done. And people on the whole, in society, they long for justice, don't we? At least when something is done against them. You hear about it in the news often, about these public inquiries into great disasters and people angry, longing for justice. And as Christians, we also should be people who long and pray for justice. But not just for ourselves, but for others who are wronged and oppressed and suffer injustice at the hands of others. But you might ask, but aren't we meant to love our enemies and also pray for them? Yes, we are. The Bible is clear that we are to love our enemies and to pray for them. So some people may say that this is a contradiction, but I think the Bible is clear. It is not a case of either or, but it is rather a case of both and. So say, for example, someone at work was spreading lies about you to try and get you into trouble because they hate that you love Jesus. I think it would be appropriate that to pray that in your prayer to God, that you would pray that these lies would be exposed and the guilty party dealt with justly. But also in the same prayer, it would be right and appropriate to ask God that he would have mercy and show mercy to the one who is persecuting you, as he has shown mercy and forgiveness to you who have wronged God. I don't think those things are a contradiction. I think it's a both and. To seek justice for there to be punishment, but also to pray for forgiveness and mercy. And then David goes on to show this mercy practically. Here he's asking for justice, but he also shows mercy. After the occurrences of both these betrayals in chapter 1 Samuel 23 and 1 Samuel 26, we see that David has two opportunities to take matters into his own hands. He has two opportunities that he could have killed Saul, but he chooses not to. He shows mercy to Saul, even though Saul would not have shown the same mercy in return. He lets Saul live. So just summarizing on that first section, we've seen that that David's in desperation, he cries out to God, that he calls out to the God who hears him, and that he asks for justice to be done whilst remembering mercy. So now moving on to our second section. Have confidence in God, looking at verses 4-7. So we see in these verses David's confidence, not confidence in himself, in his own abilities, or in wishful thinking that everything will somehow turn out okay in the end, because that's just what meant to happen. No, his confidence was in God. Look at the language that he uses in the verses in this section. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. Notice that he doesn't say God was my help, or the Lord was the one who sustained me. or even I will praise your name, for it, Lord, for it was good. Now, those statements are completely true. Read through the whole of 1 Samuel until his account of this betrayal, and you see that God indeed was David's help. But David knew and had the confidence that God was not only his help before, in the past, but knows that God still is his help in this present situation, even though his life may well be on the line. And I'd like to look at three areas of David's confidence. Firstly, confidence through knowing God. Then secondly, confidence through knowing his position before God. And then lastly, looking at his declaration or his sharing of his confidence that he has in God. So firstly, David's confidence through knowing God. We see in these verses some of the things that David knew about God. In verse 4, he knew God is a help and sustainer. Verse 5, he is faithful and powerful and just. Verse 6, that he is good and worthy of praise. Verse 7, that he is a deliverer. Now, I think we need to see that David didn't just know these things about God, but that he knew God. And there is a crucial difference between those two things, about knowing about God and knowing God. So let's just say that that we handed out more of those paper slips, but this time with 100 questions about God. And let's say that those were multiple choices, and let's say that you get 80 of those questions right, so 80%. It would probably be fair to say that you know about God, I would say. But that doesn't mean you know God. In the same, just an illustration, if I was to go away for the next 2 weeks and to study and research about a celebrity figure, maybe someone like the Queen, I'm pretty sure that after a couple of weeks that I could then get 80% on a test about the Queen. Maybe not, because I'm not that clever, but let's just say I got 80%. So I could prove that I know a lot about, say, the Queen, but that doesn't mean I know her personally or individually. So David didn't just know these things about God. He knew God from experience. He had walked with God over this time. He knew these things were true about God, but he had experienced these things, that they were true about God. So tonight, do you just know lots about God? Or do you truly know God? Do you walk with him as David did? And as well as David having confidence through knowing God, being able to declare these truths out of confidence, secondly, we'll see that he had confidence through his position to God. So I only want to mention this point briefly, as we need to look at the wider context of this psalm rather than just these verses themselves, but I think it's an important point to make and helpful in understanding the confidence we see David has here. So as mentioned before, David is hiding among the Ziphites in the first place after he'd be appointed as king. Although he was now in hiding, I think we can say that he had confidence in God's word to him being that appointed king. And I'd like to add that we, in fact, have much reason for confidence too through our position to God. In fact, in a sense, we have a much greater position to God than that of David. We may not be kings or queens of Israel or even Newtown, but we are co-heirs with the King of the universe. And isn't that a far better position to be in? And now thirdly, I want to finally look at the fact that David shares his confidence in God with others. So this, of course, may seem like an obvious point since we have the word written here. We see in the heading of this psalm, which is there, that, that these words were for the choir master to be sung, most likely, or performed in a public setting for others to hear, to be encouraged, to be challenged and taught. But it can be very easy to forget this point of sharing confidence in God with others. If you look at verse 4, it reads, "Surely God is my help." The ESV words it slightly differently. The ESV reads, "Behold, God is my helper." So just thinking of that word, behold, I was reminded of the Explorers Club on a Friday night. So every now and again, normally if the children aren't paying attention or they're distracted, when they need to listen or watch something being shown to them, one of the leaders will normally shout, "Listen up." And all the children should, in theory, stop talking, fold their arms, shout back, "Okay," and watch and listen to what the leader is about to say. They have to pay attention. And I think what it is similar to what David is saying here. When he says, "Behold, listen up. Yes, I'm going through this great trial, but don't get distracted. God is my helper. I'm going to tell you about that." So David doesn't keep his confidence in God to himself. He proclaims it, his confidence with God, to those around him. There are plenty of areas or examples of different areas of life of people sharing the confidence that they have, whether it be in politics, business, economics, their own skills or talents. And no doubt that we've all heard others' confidence in their favorite sports team or country, often with zeal and conviction. But don't we, as God's children, sinners saved by grace through Christ's death, have much better reasons to share our confidence with much more zeal and much more confidence in God? Don't we have a much better message to proclaim, the gospel message to others? And you may well be thinking tonight that, yes, I am trusting in God even through the most desperate of situations, but my confidence is lacking. You don't feel you have the confidence you should. Well, let me encourage you that it is not just something that happens overnight. That our confidence in God, our trust in God, should be something that is growing. It is something that, as we heard this morning, that when we fail, when we don't speak as we should, that God is a forgiving Father, but who not only forgives us, but as we heard this morning in the sermon, that he also changes us by his grace. Our confidence and our trust in God should be growing. The confidence that you have in God today, if you're trusting in him, shouldn't be the same confidence that you had a year ago. And the confidence that you have now shouldn't be the same confidence that you have next year. We can ask God to help us to grow in our confidence in his words, that you'd help us to walk in step with the Spirit. And that we also grow in confidence for encouraging each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And ask for that boldness, that he would help us to share the confidence that we do have, even if it is far from perfect, that he would help us to share that with those around us. So just in summary, I think hopefully we've seen tonight that even in this desperate situation of David, that he knows that he can cry and should cry out to God. But he not only, but he does so in great confidence. Confidence of who God is and his position before God, and with confidence to share it with those around him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this record that we have written for us. Lord, we just thank you that we can learn from David's example, that even in Lord, the depths of desperation, that we can cry out to you. Lord, thank you that we can have this real and living relationship with you through Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray for any here tonight who aren't trusting in you. Father, speak to them, we pray. Lord, as we have said already, Lord, for those of us who do, Father, help us to share the confidence that we have with those around us. Lord, even our enemies, those who would seek to stop the proclamation of the gospel. Father, help us to be faithful ambassadors of Christ. Lord, pray that you be with us now as we hear Chris come and speak to us. Lord, may we be encouraged by what we hear. Lord, may we learn and may we be more effective and how to pray for the work that is going on over there in Kenya. Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.